We start with Zimbabwean nationals who are in South Africa on the exemption permit. Deadline of the 30th of June is looming. An estimated 178,000 Zimbabweans living in South Africa face possible deportation at the end of this month unless they apply and secure other permits. Joining me on the line is Bongani Mkhwanazi, spokesperson for the Zimbabwe community in South Africa. Bongani, a very good morning and welcome to the show.
Morning Africa, morning to the CapTalk viewers and the other viewers, listeners at large.
28 days is the number of days left before the deadline of the 30th of June. 178,000 Zimbabweans living in South Africa with the exemption permit, they might be facing deportation. How many of them have already applied and secured other permits already? Do you know?
Certainly we don't, but we instituted a survey, a questionnaire that we're circulating in the past week, which we need to get the figures. So far, not so many people had really filled it. We had about 300 people only participating in the survey thus far, but we're hoping the more it circulates, the better we will get a statistic, a sampled figure to see the state. But we realized that a lot of our people had not tried to migrate, in particular trying to use the waiver method where they would request that the department waivers certain requirements, like the labor letter, for example, because they would already have been in employ and earning gainfully. So we have no figure really, but we are aware that a lot of our people have not tried to transition because of the difficulties that they've been facing.
What have been some of those difficulties, Bongani?
For instance, one is the VFS website itself has been proving to be a very cumbersome website. A lot of people facing difficulties with booking slots, timeouts on the website. Someone tries to log in, they're getting kicked out, trying to fill in the details. I've been one of the people who has been trying to assist as many as I can, and I personally have struggled with that website. But the other main thing was booking slots and also the delay from our own compatriots to actually start the process, so enough to clock that VFS website is ready at the last minute.
No, fair enough. Because the Department of Home Affairs has not indicated yet, right, whether they'll extend the deadline beyond the 30th of June.
We've been warning our compatriots that we cannot work at a perception that the department will do another extension. We need to stick to the deadline and have been encouraging them to apply. And at least if the department was to make an extension or another announcement that is favorable to our compatriots, they would also have done their part. So we are hoping that there might be an understanding after this survey, what is the position, where are the people, what are the challenges that they are facing, so that we can present these to the relevant authorities and also to relay back the information to the community on how best they can handle this. Most people are complaining about booking slots, and some people are complaining that while they had applied, they had not received any feedback from the department. So there's a mix of issues around the application, but we still have some who are hoping for a positive outcome from the court case, who might still be lingering on the sidelines and thinking that the court case might produce a positive result and perhaps something that would allow them to keep on staying. But we have really been trying in our social media groups and other arenas to say, guys, we have a deadline. Please stick to the deadline so that we cannot be found wanting on our own end.
Remind us what the court case involves. What remedies are you looking for?
Look, we are looking for an understanding that a lot of these people are of low skill, and they face very complex circumstances. I think I've put it across before that you would find, for instance, you have someone who would be a hairdresser, for example. That person is not really employed, but they are gainfully living legitimately. So rents a chair, but there's no one to write them a letter, for example. But they make enough of their own living legitimately without any illegalities. But what they need is a stay in South Africa legally. So you find, for example, you have an Uber driver. They're not really a business person. Uber says this: you are a partner, you are not an employee. So the requirements in the red tape sort of mechanism of trying to get into a general work permit, we say we want an employer to write you something. Uber says, well, I'm saying you are not my employee. We are in a partnership. Then, does this person fall in a category of a business permit, or they fall in a general work permit? Becomes very difficult for such a person to how to present themselves to the department. So we have all those sort of small caveats in the topic of Zimbabweans. A maid who is not really employed by one person, but does peace jobs, as we call it, works at several people, 2 days at Bongani, 3 days at Mrs. Jackson, 1 day at so-and-so. And really, who is the one who is going to write them a letter? We found other employers are very afraid. They feel now that I have to give this person a work contract. I might be prejudicing myself. You just work 1 day for me. I don't want to be the one who said to be an employer. Perhaps there's benefits and all these things that might be tied back to me. So we've been trying to go even into restaurants, trying to explain to employers. A lot of people don't know that at restaurants, most of our compatriots or workers at restaurants would find themselves not being salaried. For example, they earn tips. You get there, some of these restaurants are very skeptical about contracts. I've been to one or two restaurants to try to explain to management how the process should work, that they should have some piece of agreement with the employee that would act as a contract to say, look, we have this person earning an income through us. So our matter is not as straightforward as would be on the list of requirements that are traditional in the Migration Act.
Yeah. Bongani, paint a picture for us. For those who will then have to be deported on the 30th of June, should they not be able to successfully or timelessly apply and secure other permits, what awaits them in Zimbabwe?
It's a bit of a predicament. If you have lived your life in South Africa or in another land for, let's say, 2015, 20, 25, other people 30 years, and you have to go back to a country. For example, you've been living as a domestic worker, or a gardener. You can go to Melana's place, dig a few holes there, and it gives you 250 on that day. That prospect is not there in Zimbabwe. Who are you going to be gardening for? And the employment rate in Zimbabwe, the economy is still in doldrums. So the person who goes back home is anxious to say, how am I really going to sustain a living there? So it's a bit of an anxious moment for a lot of people who would find themselves going back.
It is a difficult one. It truly, truly is. But as you say, this has been a matter that has been coming up for several years now, with extensions being granted. And I, like you, do not anticipate that the Minister of Home Affairs is going to grant another extension. Once the survey is concluded, we certainly would like to have you back on this show, at least, just to get a sense of what numbers are we talking about in terms of people who've successfully applied and secured other permits versus those who will now need to face deportation come the end of the month.
We would surely share the statistics. They would give us a sample result. It might not be the entire application population that will applicants that will fill the forms to fulfill the survey, but we'll get a very good indicator as to what are the challenges. So we will truly share these results, and we are hoping that these issues should not be looked at in the bureaucratic sense to say we gave you a deadline, some of you did not do anything about it, but these other issues that creep up, we are hoping that we can sit down with the authorities, present them the challenges, and perhaps come to a consensus. Like we have said, as the Zimbabwe Community South Africa, we believe in dialogue and engagement to truly present the scenario on the ground. While we did not go to court, and in principle, I'm not saying, well, going to court is wrong or anything. We have always encouraged dialogue, and we still hope that the authorities come to the table again to listen to the concerns or whatever issues are arising. This is a humanitarian issue, and we can't look at it in the cutthroat way to say, look, there is a deadline, did not meet the deadline, sort yourself out in life. These are living people who are breadwinners, who, if you look at the 178,000, the people that are dependent on them, the figure is exponential to that. So we are hoping really for a humanitarian understanding to the crisis our people will face.
Bongani, thank you very much indeed for your time this morning. Bongani Mkhwanazi, the spokesperson for the Zimbabwe community in South Africa.